Hi guys. We'll wait a couple of minutes.
Hello, Vipin.
Hey, hi, Ron.
How are you?
Okay. So I think we are going to wait, say, one more minute, and I will start sharing the screen. We'll start going through the usual, the meeting minutes and so on.
Okay.
You can share my screen. I mean, you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay. So I will add the attendees here. Anyway, before we start, we have to do this we have to do the antitrust policy and the Hypologic Code of Conduct. So antitrust policy, basically we agree not to engage in antitrust activities. And for people who want to read the whole text, it's here. And that is the only requirement for participating in the meeting. The next one is this code of conduct. Code of conduct basically says that all are welcome as long as you are nice to each other. Well, nice is a strange word, but basically that you're not rude, that you do not disrespect people, as long as you engage in proper discourse, debate. Disagreeing with somebody is not not being nice, right? Disagreeing is okay. So now we got to go down the list and talk to people who are and ask them to introduce themselves. So I'll start with Gary.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm Gary Miller with Intain. We're a technology company that powers
the... What is the name of the company again? Sorry.
Intain, I-N-T-A-I-N, Intain. And we have software that manages the life cycle for the issuance of asset-backed securities in the debt capital markets. And we use blockchain and AI in that process.
Beautiful. Manny?
I am Manny Pillai from StopSub. We are developing more of a next generation digital ledger digital assets lifecycle trading platform, and it's all built around using ISDA CDM and data standards.
Ron.
Good morning, everyone. Ron Quaranta, chairman of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. The WSBA is a nonprofit trade association headquartered in New York with a global mission to guide and promote comprehensive adoption of both blockchain technology and crypto assets across global markets. Some of the folks we are very on this call, we are very privileged to also have as members. And Vipin, as a matter of fact, I think our last meeting in person was at one of our working group meetings.
That's right, at the Enterprise working group meeting.
Always good to see you, my friend.
Next is Tom Lee. Are you there, Tom?
Hey, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute. This is Tom. I think we talked while we were in Hong Kong. Anyway, my name is Tong Li, IBMer. I work on Fabric deployment and mainly Cello project. So I'm here to support our intern, Manny Pillay. He will later talk about the work he has done during this entire internship period. So I'm happy to be in this meeting.
Money is your intern? I didn't know that.
I'm not an intern anywhere.
Manny Pillay is an intern? What happened to this call?
I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. Okay. The other guy, Manik? Sorry, mistake.
Manik, yes. And money are two different people. Money is a CEO of Swabs Hub. So if he's your intern, I would like to go on as an intern.
That's great.
Right next to him.
That's great. I messed up the names. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I thought he just put his name in
short. It's a good way to start a call, Tom.
Yeah. I'm... I apologize.
Don't worry.
Yeah, really bad good. About those long names.
In DLT world, everyone is an intern.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So I wanted to make a long presentation about the Derive Hack and CDN. I had prepared some slides for that. But I haven't covered the whole gamut because it has to go from a lot of, does cover the ground from what is the purpose of the Derive Hack, and what was done, the use case that was presented, and the Rosetta, the CDM, library that helps create CDM objects, and then also the Hackfest itself, where a lot of different teams showed up in New York and created solutions for this toy use case. But Money, who is probably creating a real system for this, which is not a toy use case with lots of truncated business processes, but something that is really real. Can probably talk a little more about that. But before I go further, I think we have to back up a little bit for people who do not know CDM. It is the common domain model created by ISDA, International Swaps and Derivatives Association, who had already created something called FPML, which is widely used in the industry. And this time, with CDM, their ambitions are a little more broad. They want to create a solution that handles not only swaps and derivatives, which are bilateral products, meaning they are agreements between two parties, but they want to cover also things like securities, loan products, foreign exchange and so on. But currently, there is nothing that is live in production from CDM. CDM is still being born, so there's a lot of interest from a lot of different people, mostly the big players. And their aim seems to be to keep the infrastructure the way it is, because that is what is required by the regulators, especially the having brokers, broker-dealers, and so on. So Mani will probably tell us a little more about it, and I can dive into a little more of what I had prepared, but I'll create a more extensive presentation, especially focusing on the CDM, because that is our should be something that we focus on, because it will affect capital markets infrastructure all around. Mani, do you want to say anything about what happened and your efforts in CDM?
Yeah, sure. But I did see some documentation on your documented on the site. Why don't you bring that up? So, yeah, I think that's a good introduction.
What is that? This one, the CDM model, or?
Yeah, the whatever you had documented under the standards.
The overview of the ISDA CDM.
Yeah, that'll be a good start. And then I have a few slides to share, so I can share next.
So here is the, can you see the slide?
Nope.
You cannot see this slide. Okay. Let me see. Stop share and share the. Now?
Yes.
Is this what you wanted?
Yeah, then if you go further down, you have some diagrams there.
Yeah, this is from the Rosetta. From Rosetta perspective, right?
Yeah. Then there's further down there. You have one more. I guess. Saw something else. Maybe I missed. It's okay. I can start off with, and
I think we should sketch out the basics, because people are not experts in either ISDA or CDM or anything like that.
Okay. Do you want me to share my screen and?
Oh yeah, of course. I can stop sharing, and you can take over.
Yeah.
Voila, it's yours.
Hold on 1 second.
Hi guys, this is Kirti here. Apologies, I was late to join the call. I'm here, so that's it.
Someone else has joined as well. Vipin.
Hi, this is Shantanu, and I'm being late. Sorry for that.
Okay, are you able to see the presentation here?
Yes.
Okay. Just to give a background, as Vivian pointed out, FTML has been there for almost, 15, 17 years now in production in various forms within the OTC derivatives group. About three, four years back, ISDA looked at the existing data standards and felt that in order to meet the challenges in the new digital world, they had to come up with a much more better and a more precise data standard. And then they started formulating the basis of what's the common domain model. Essentially, that took most of the work that's done in FTML, but also started adding securities processing as well, covering everything from all sorts of asset classes. In the capital markets. So it started off with P pure OTC derivatives and in covering interest rate swaps, credit default swaps. And then in the past year or so, we expanded to equity swaps. Then, I mean, along the process, it now covers the life cycle of standard digital securities, whether it's equities or bonds. And they're still expanding to now include repos and security finance. And then a separate group is now being formed to handle collateral. So it's a much more comprehensive standard. It's in progress, as we've been pointed out. The last year, Barclays being one of the sponsors of the CDM, along with his picked off an initial derivative hack. At that time, the focus was more of life cycle events for interest rate swaps. But this year, with the addition of securities processing, they have done actually introduce a life cycle of equity or bonds, and let players take a standard broker dealer with a client and how they interact on a execution followed by an allocation followed by settlement life cycle, and let people work with and come up with their own solution. It's an interesting event. There were participants from New York and London, and in this year they added Singapore. The technology players have taken the model and applied the various life cycles and came up with their own unique way of approaching. I think close to about 30 or so different companies or participants in various locations participated. Looking at why there is such an important interest essentially needed a digital data stand. The existing ones, whether it's a fixed protocol, is purely a messaging standard, and FTMO, which is more or less a data standard, had their own purposes of communicating between parties. However, there were no precise standard that it could codify and also help in parties come to a consensus and record this and have a kind of a digital reference. And none of those kind of features existed in the existing FIXR FTMO standard. That's our main focus in CDM. I've been involved in this CDM working group from almost now 18 months, going through all the different working groups and contributing. And I'll come to that, what we are doing with CDM per se later on. You look at the benefits of that is you can see that most of these, if you look at the fixed protocol earlier on, is primarily an order and execution. Of course, some allocations are added later on. And then additional products on options and features started adding. But however, it stayed more towards securities processing. FTMO covered only OTC derivatives. But when they started referring to each other, they referred to, for example, FIX would still cover some of the aspects of options, but in a format that is more suited to FIX. And FTMO referred to some of the cash products in their own implementation, but there were no common standards. CDM covers both and actually uniformly addresses both of these so that you would have the same representation of, let's say, securities, whether you're going to use in pure securities processing or use the securities as underlying in derivatives. So that's a main advantage of one single model. And it captures the life cycle events precisely. We will come to that. What does it mean? It is called built-in data rules. And an interesting problem is that if the CDM is represented as a JSON, while in FTMO we have an XML schema, CDM does not, being based upon JSON, JSON schema is not very strong. However, to actually make it better, they introduced within the model itself data rules. So it's more of a business data rule. It's an interesting thing is in contrast, if you had a schema which is more of a technical verification that does look at only from the perspective of whether an implementation needs the schema. However, the CDM model looks at more from a business perspective. If you are doing it in a lifecycle event, does that meet the standards of the lifecycle event? And that could be by product, and hence it's much more elaborate in terms of validation of the underlying data. One of the interesting things is that it tracks causes and effects. In most existing standards, you just simply are moving from state to state. Whereas here, it actually looks at the same, what are my inputs and what are my outputs? Somewhat very similar to capturing how DLTs or blockchains work, except that this is completely an underlying DLT or blockchain independent data format so that it could be applied to any of the blockchains or DLT. It maintains lineages, which is essentially tracking part of audit trail so that if you go through the life cycle of that event, you would always be able to go back to the previous event that was in along the life cycle chain. We could come to that a bit later on this. We talked about JSON. There are other advantages being purely a JSON format, being a textual format, has got some advantages in legal disputes. I wouldn't go too far into this, I'll just jump on to what is the CDM itself. And how that a broad sense of a data structure. It's interesting. It is we started moving calls with smart data for smart contracts. If anything, smart contracts is a bit more nebulous definition, particularly in capital markets, as the processing cycle, event processing, or the business lifecycle processing are much more complex. So you really needed a very standard way of defining the data, and that's what CDM comes to. So. A typical header looks at that, or indicates the participants, or what we call as parties. The event lineage is the one that points to the previous event. So it's just creating a chain of events within the data structure. So this is very unique.
Excuse me, Mani, looks like Ron has raised his hand. Maybe he should.
I couldn't see. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Manny, I'm sorry. I just want a couple of quick questions. And just Vipin, building on your comment previously, just so I'm clear, this is not fully developed and vetted yet, right? Where are we in that process? Because I would imagine some of the common lifecycle aspects would be relatively difficult to flesh out across multiple asset classes. But where does this stand currently? And then I've got one other question on the header that you just mentioned.
It's a good point. From the OTC derivatives point of view, it is fully covered the life cycle from, essentially we talk about a trade life cycle here, right? So it starts from a more or less from a post-trade perspective, so you're not talking about trading here.
Right.
That means if you start from an execution to allocation to the standard life cycle events in derivatives, rates and resets and all the stuff that goes on, terminations, standard novations, all of those are all documented. Now, when it comes to securities processing, which has happened this year, it fairly attempts to cover everything from, again, execution, that means then move on to allocation. You would then come up into sort of, getting into the nitty-gritty details of net, which is where it's still being further developed. But again, it covers broadly, uniformly across. If you talk about cash products, equities, or bonds, it's irrelevant because it's just an underlying security. It is still a model in development. But the one thing I could tell you is that is. If you look back 2 years from now, if you're not using CDM in your DLT implementation, you are out of luck. It's probably because the most industry is now galvanizing towards this. It comes into one common standard across cash and derivatives. This usually had been a problem because cash markets were one way and derivative markets were another way. Here it comes as a common integrated platform. And added to that, they had ICMA, which just covers the security finance, repo and security finance, and now bringing in collateral, you're bringing in a much more comprehensive scheme, and by the fact that these links are all linked to each other from the inception of the trade all the way to settlement of the trade across multiple asset classes, you're really looking at a data standard that's prime for use. Can anyone start developing the product? Yes, yes. We have been building our platform almost now more than close to a year using this model. It's painful because the model has been evolving fast, but it's started stabilizing, I would say, the last couple of months because most of the product categories are baked in. Now getting into nitty-gritty details of making sure that the standards are actually practically applicable. That's why these packs are conducted.
Got it. Okay, no, and thank you, Manny. And one last question, just real quickly, I don't need to monopolize the call on everyone, but when looking at this CDM event specifically, and maybe I'm getting too far ahead in the technicals, but is this a hash within the CDM event? Are they running their own hash functions within this? And do you know what the methodology of the hash is? Or
I'm just
trying to think ahead to on-chain DLT transactions, and that will that data be absorbed into this kind of CDM event? And it's a new hash, and I'm probably mangling some of the computer science around it that my colleagues on the call know much better, but I'm just trying to figure out, do they mean hash the way we mean hash in the DLT space?
Yes, except that this hash is a model hash. That means by using this hash as a key level on the CDM objects, you are actually the underlying DLT independent. So like, for example, when we implemented this thing, implementing this thing on Corda, what we do is there is like any other DLT they provide you, if you give a transaction, they give you a hash. But this hash is more of a DLT specific hash. But the CDM itself, when we construct the CDM object, it constructs the CDM hash for the entire object. And hence, later on, you could, since it becomes a key part of the data being stored, you could actually retrieve it by as a domain hash, or you could use the underlying DLT hash. So it's up to you, it's up to the implementer of whoever uses the CDM to use whatever they choose. But the advantage is there's now you can uniformly write code across multiple DLTs if you just choose only CDM hash. You don't care about the underlying DLT. So you simply have to say, retrieve data, here's my hash. You should be able to retrieve the data no matter underlying DLT. We are not talking about interoperability between DLTs here. It's purely, let's call it a data interoperability between multiple DLTs and blockchain.
Got it. Understood. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Carrying on, as I said, there is a chaining of events, and also we capture the event effects. Basically, at a higher level, a CDM is an event or essentially a transaction that captures a bunch of inputs, which could be zero or more inputs, and then a bunch of outputs, much similar to what you would see on a DLT transaction. Except that this has got a more structure. It has got what's called the basic primitive events. The primitive events are the building blocks. What I would say is, how do you create a new trade? How do you terminate a trade? How do you allocate a trade? And then the actual lifecycle events, which is built up on top of that, which could be at individual functional level of a business cycle or the portfolio level business cycle. Those are all the lifecycle events, which are more of a business processes. So it's a two-tier event. So you could combine a bunch of primitives to actually create a business event. The references to the contracts are essentially the outputs are typically contracts or let's call it event objects. This could be a higher level contract at a trade or an execution, or it could be as low level as a simple cash flow transaction. So whatever there is, the net result of an output. So for example, if you take a new trade, the output would be a contract. If you take an allocation, the input would be, let's say, a block trade, and then the output would be a series of allocated trades. If you take a payment processing life cycle, the input could be one or more contracts, or the output could be one or more payment instructions, or what we call as transfer events. Everything is model defined, so it is not mapped to any underlying, let's say, DLT specifics. So you could really take that and apply it to the underlying DLT of your choice. but defining a data model without at a much higher level, it's a lot easier to move your data from DLT to DLT. Moving on to this is how the interesting thing is most messaging systems. If you look at it from the move, if you take from orders to execution, I'm just doing a very broad level to allocations and going into the clearing and settlement process. These things are just unidirectional. Essentially, you move from one stage to another stage, and you move on to another stage. Then you take next level data standards or data processing messaging standards. You go to the subsequent stage. So I represented those things as green, like a green arrow. CDM in return also does a backward looking, essentially chain the event. That means a built-in audit trail saying that if I had an execution as an event, how did this execution come about? It has a link or an event reference, which is a hash, into the original order or a set of other events or inputs built into this execution. So you really can go backwards to say, if I had a transfer, and then let's say in the simplest case, it was an internal compliance requirement or a regulatory asset question, show me the entire lifecycle of how did you arrive at a transfer. So from the transfer event, I think we can go back into a settlement event or essentially a netted event. From there, you can go into how this event, the settlement itself created, because this is netting a bunch of individual transactions. How did they come about? It could be a bunch of trades coming from either from allocation or directly a series of execution. I should actually add one more arrow here. But the net result is that CDM itself gives you kind of a built-in audit trail, which is very, very important. And by this, parties signing on to have their entire history on record on the ledgers. So you don't have to go around looking for the history. And also this information being, let's assume that propagated to regulators, they're not going to come back and ask you ever questions like, how did you come up with this result? So right now, every time there is a request, they will throw a request at you and you have to go out and collect this data from potentially multiple dozens of internal systems to piece them all together and submit it to a regulator. And if the regulator requires the same data from your counterparty, you will definitely end up with data that's missing or inconsistent, not so with the CDM. That's the biggest advantage of having a well-linked data structure. Any questions at this point? That's what its main purpose is, to say, how do we apply a digital standard that parties, when they use the standard, you have a complete self-referential data model.
It's JSON text across the entirety of the chain here, or the process here, Manny?
JSON is the data represented as output, yes. But CDM is the data standard. It does, yeah. The different languages, what are the different operating languages? Can be any number of things. There, they initially started out with Java, then digital assets came in, and then they come up with their own DAML architecture on top. Now there are efforts from anything from JavaScript to in whatever. A lot of if they open source the entire CDM data model, so it's no longer before until about a few months ago, it was under the ESCCM. You had to have CDM membership. Now you no longer have to. You can go in, register, simply online register, get access to the entire open source. And they are now also into the open source the tools that are necessary to create the model. So you could go ahead, and if you felt that there is a certain asset class that you wanted to add on to, you could go ahead and model it, test it, and you can submit it back to CDM for approval, or you could just continue using your own product thing as an extension to CDM.
So okay.
That's what we are.
Thank you.
And another comment on the hash. As you know, in the cryptographic community, hash is known as a commitment, right? Basically, that commitment is what you're signing. So I guess since the hashing standard stands separately from the hashing standard of the underlying DLT, it is in effect something that you know, that can stand separately in the sense that it no matter which DLT it's implemented in, that hash will always be similar. The second point is that since it's a commitment, basically it's a legal commitment arises out of it.
Yeah,
right. And that's the key part, because it's a bilateral agreement. Most of these, this is the product that they're supporting now, which are the swaps and the derivatives, are bilateral agreements.
But it's also applicable to you know, post-trade processing of any digital securities between a broker-dealer and a customer, or an exchange and a broker-dealer. You can name it anywhere. And also, if you bring in a custodian, it's multilateral as well. Broker-dealer, customer, and the corresponding custodian. So all of them see the same data structure through the life cycle, so that there is no ambiguity in the reference, and they're essentially completely eliminates reconciliation at any stage of that path, independent of the underlying DLT. CDM by itself, you know, provides you that whole linkages. So in simple form, if we agree to, you know, if we take out the complexity of the underlying DLT architecture, if simply we all agree to the CDM and then, you know, and we put it in an immutable database, then we are all still golden. Of course, you know, what the DLTs provide you is the whole security aspect of it, and you know, communication between parties and the consensus mechanism. But as a CDM, it can also independently be used internally. Some of the banks already started exploring this because they're having this huge data replication of trade data across multiple systems. And they don't have a single reference, and they're looking and saying, why don't I use CDM? And then I can, any trading platform, it's impossible to rewrite all of them, but at least if they have a common CDM data, anyone can go in and pull the data from that one common source. This is within the bank, they are looking at how, you know, CDM is used. We are more interested in an actual DLT implementation.
It was strange to see, not to see IBM in there with the Hyperledger Fabric, because last year they were there. I'm sorry that Tong Li disappeared, otherwise I would have asked him that question. Why didn't you guys show up?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, they already participated, but the participants were free to choose any underlying DLT, not necessarily the only one that showed, was there on the hackathon. They could have come up with a hack fabric, which is what last year they did. So some of them used fabric as their own blockchain. So, you know, it's up to individual participants, whatever they want. I'm just going to go show this thing, how we actually implemented it in a CDM in a test environment. This is the life cycle. I'm not going to go too much into it, except that we set up nodes for banks to come in, and we provided a whole infrastructure for the working group members, so they could actually use it and verify. And we did a full test of this, at least a partial test of the full life cycle early in May, with all the participants of the banks and CCPs. And us all working together to verify that this is really doable. And we use Corda and we use CDM. Everything's documented in CDM, and the messaging protocol, what's being stored in database in these vaults or whatever, the underlying DLTs are all CDM messages, not the underlying, you know, DLT specific. We just store only JSON messages. So that gives a big advantage of not having to be tied up to one particular DLT. And we did this whole orchestration of how two parties putting in their own trade data, how would you actually, you know, create a shared services infrastructure so that these trades can be actually matched, and then you create a golden record. I'm just going to go too fast with a lot of stuff into it. But ultimately what you see is that is once it's matched, you create a golden record, and that they're also being you know, sent over to the regulator. This is what we did a full test using CDM. And in Corda, instead of Corda, I could have been using any other DLT, but we just chose one for that for testing purposes. So that's an actual use. use case. Now we are expanding to add more, you know, the CCPs are interested for clearing. So that's our next thing that we are working on. So this is just some summary of what we have worked on purely on CDM, providing the test tools that we went through this thing. And now we are building this full lifecycle product, essentially bringing, you know, broker dealers, customers are essentially, you know, B2C networks. You know, most of them are the current implementations are all purely looked at consortiums. We know that's very difficult to achieve, but you know, the sweet spot is bringing buy side and sell side together. That's what our focus. And mostly, the interesting thing is I went and talked to SEC and CFTC staff for the past month or so, and we discussed about CDM, DLT, and then a more new exciting topic about multi-party computation for our custody. Maybe that's probably another topic for another somewhere down the road. But that's, you know, it's all related to how CDM can be applied, and the regulators are very keen on seeing data standards being applied to DLT. Not everyone comes up with their own proprietary implementation. I'm going to skip this thing just to show that how CDM is powerful enough to show that we are actually implementing these using Corda Network. We're implementing the lifecycle of these processes and linking and chaining them all together so that digital assets, doesn't matter where and what part of that underlying assets are being formed, we can actually process and provide them a fully peer-to-peer shared services, you know, make it available for them to banks can use, whether it's crypto tokens or their own issue tokens or the new utility tokens, you name it. It's all at a higher level for us, just, you know, securities and security stuff. Yeah, that's actual practical implementation of CDM we are working on now. Thanks for your time. I hope that didn't go take too much of the time. Any questions?
Manny, I know you and I have spoken at many gatherings as well. How, what's the easiest way to kind of collaborate and work on some of this, or at least see the updates that are going forward on CDM?
In what sense?
How's it developing? Who's using it? What are the models you're looking at? What use cases have been fully developed beyond post-trade?
Yeah, so CDM is being, you know, we, as I said, we are applying to two different areas. One is the OTC derivatives, and it's much more, initially more of a test scenario. Now CCPs are getting into more serious. CME, LCH are getting into the game slowly. So that means they are saying, okay, you know, how do we apply to clearing? And how do you apply to, you know, then there is a separate initiative on collateral, but collateral is still in the very early stages of the CDM model definition. But there are interests within the community of applying CDM for collateral. Asset side, we are, you know, as I said, we are implementing CDM assets. There are other interesting new areas around the utility tokens. People are talking about interbank cash transfers or intraday cash transfers. There are some interesting applications being developed using CDM as well. I mean, still they're all early stages. We can say that having worked on CDM almost 18 months and almost clear on our what we're actually implementing on digital assets, we have come quite a long way, and you know, probably in the next few months we would be able to, you know, showcase the actual implementation.
Okay, thank you.
So are these slides going to be available for others who did not see?
Yeah, man, I would curate with you, Vipin, and this is just what I have hacked and put together, which is essentially what I use for some of the Daily Hack participants. So we can work out and see what's relevant, and I don't want to bring any of commercial things into the picture. So let's, as long as we stick to CDM, we can clean up the presentation and put it out, and we can add it to the content within the working group. Let's work on it offline.
It's very interesting because a lot of the big banks are really involved in this, including the bank that I used to work for, BNP Paribas, is a big proponent of CDM. I don't know how much they will use in the coming years, but definitely JPM, Barclays, people like that are also involved. So we have about 15 minutes. I was hoping to go into some of the projects that we're working on. One of them is, of course, the CDM project, meaning the standards definition project that Mani is leading. So we'll put the information about that in the in that particular project, and then we will take up the other projects. Unfortunately, most of the people who are here, I mean, I think Kirti is interested in the tokenization project. And so Mani went into details of how he's extending the CDM into the digitalization aspect of things. But independently of that, Ron Resnick had talked to me about collaborating on the token initiative, the TTI, he called it. So Kirti, you have something to say about the tokenization initiative, or should we go into the other other aspects of the other projects that we are working on? Kirti, oh, you disappeared. Okay. Anyway, the other projects that we're working on include a taxonomy. Gary, were you about to say something, Gary? I guess not.
Hey, Vipin, it's Ron. Could you bring up the list of, and again, my apologies, I've been out of it for the past few weeks with some work and travel, and I'm kind of diving back in. I know that we talked about allocating some work streams. Do you have that list that you can display or share post this call? That way the folks who missed some stuff can kind of get back on the horse?
Yes, let me get to that. Give me a second here. I'm going to share my screen with the you know, the meeting minutes, meeting notes, which actually has the projects, okay? So I'm going to share the screen. You can see this, right?
Yes.
So it's the link is from the meeting notes, which we saw before, the CMSIG projects. And in that, we have a taxonomy work. And we also have the data standards work, which Mani is kindly leading. But, you know, there is a mix of standards there. There may be other standards that we have to look at, but primarily it's the ISTA CDM. Then we have the use case stream, which Stan is supposed to be leading, but he hasn't shown up in the last few meetings. Hopefully he'll come back. Then we have the obstacles, which are the obstacles to adoption. Right. So I should mention something here because, which Mani probably did not mention, but it is very, very important. That is part of the CDM. So there are two things. One is that non-specific hash, which we talked about. Second is there is something called synonyms, which is basically a way to transform from other standards, FPML, ISO 20022, various other standards into CDM. And that's very important because obstacles to adoption are interoperability between the different standards is missing. So unless you have a way to transform from one to another, you cannot go forward. And also to legacy systems. One of the things that was mentioned during the Deriv hack was a lack of access to identity standards or identity infrastructure through the reference data portion of CDM. So that will definitely cause a problem in adoption. I know that Rosetta, for example, Rosetta is the library that is attached to CDM that should be used to transform data from outside into the CDM specific data, has access to GLIF, which is a global legal entity identity foundation, a mouthful there, but this is a very important organization that gathers data from multiple enterprises all over the world so that you can look at the data and say, where are you domiciled? What regulations or what documents have you provided based on where you are? The other thing is it allows for a hierarchical drill down. That means if one organization owns another one, then you're able to say, what is the parent organization? What are the children organizations? The third thing is that it will allow you to go deeper and deeper into the actual beneficial owners. So the beneficial owners are very important for KYC AML because the actual natural persons who are at the base of these organizations could be on an OFAC list or some kind of a list. That means you should not be doing business with them if they have a certain percentage of ownership in the enterprise you're dealing with. So all of these are important for adoption because now this is knitting together not only the infrastructure for handling securities and the various events, but also other things like the KYC AML. Ron, you have a question?
I just want to be cognizant of time, and I appreciate you going through the particular work streams. A couple of logistical things, Bipin, and I suspect some others might be having this problem. But as I recall, I had kind of raised my hand around being part of or an interested party for 5 and 6, I think it was, regulation and tokenization. I've been unable to log in, so I'll take that up separately. But if you have access to this, please feel free to add me because I'd like to help move forward those two topics if it's useful to do that.
So you have to get a Linux Foundation ID. Do you have one?
I do. I do have a Linux Foundation ID. And then the last couple of times, it might be me fat figuring access or something, but.
Okay. So the thing to do is when you log into the wiki,
yep.
Right? Which is where you have to go, wiki.appellegent.org.
Yep.
So if you go to the
you don't have to do that here. I want to be
cognizant. No, it's important because people have been telling me this. So what happens is that, you know, it will bring up usually a chat, a login window. And if you do not get that login window, then you should just clear your cache or do something that causes that login window to appear. And once you log in, you should have full access to the CMSIG product.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you cannot get through, call me up, because this is important. If people cannot contribute, it is a problem, right?
Yeah. I had tried a couple of times. I couldn't get in, and it was on my, I'll get back to this, and 3 weeks went by and I never did. So I'll work on that again today.
Okay. So there are several other, working groups here, the regulation, tokenization and digital currency, and oracles, which is another part of the CDM, the reference data part, which I think, I mean, I'm not really sure exactly how that works. I look into it a little more, but oracles are a very important part of the functioning of any system, because basically you have the blockchain system and then you have the outside world. How do you interface with the outside world? Either to get prices, to get security data, to get identity data, whatever it is. So all of that has to happen through the intermediation of oracles. Anyway, we have come to 10:57. Anybody else has anything to say? And now is the time.
Nothing from me.
All right. So I'll make the recording available. I'll also work with Money to get something he deems presentable on the slides. And I'll put in the meeting minutes as far as I can, get out of the recordings. Thank you. And hopefully this has been a worthwhile session.
Thank you, Vipin. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.